Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, an Italian-American podcast, and I'm your proud host, Frankie D. And today, episode 33, I'm at the beautiful Lakeshore campus of Loyola University in Chicago, and something great has happened here for Italian-Americans, an inaugural College of Arts and Sciences Paul and Ann Rubino Italian-American Studies program has been launched. In fact, it's been launched 2 months ago, and I have the privilege of being with the endowed professor, Carla Simonini. Carla, welcome to the show. It's an exciting time to be a Loyola and be an Italian-American, correct?
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm humbled and honored to have been selected for this position. It's been great to get to know the Loyola community and to see this come to fruition. It's been a dream of mine, too, to have a job like this that combines all my professional and my personal interests.
So, it has to be almost a dream come true.
It is. I never would have imagined when I started out in academia that I would end up in a job that I could combine, you know, my love for Italy, my interest in my own heritage, and my scholarly pursuits. I've always been interested in languages and literature, and also have the chance to create something new and to reach a new generation of students and let them know about this important facet of Italian-American history and culture.
I was thinking about it on the way here that someone like myself, I wish I was 18 years old, because to have this opportunity to study Italian-American studies, I would have eaten it up right away. The Italian-American studies and my podcast have some history. I didn't realize it, but my very first podcast was almost 5 years ago to the day. And the title was The State of Italian America and Why We Need an Italian American Studies Program at Loyola University in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And my guests were Chris Caliendo, Bill Dalcero, and none other than Dominic Candeloro.
Oh, Dominic Candeloro has been so important to me. I feel like I've been his shadow since I've been here. I know he was one of the driving forces, or perhaps the driving force behind the whole fundraising campaign and the rationale behind creating this program. And he's been so welcoming. He's been introducing me to different Italian-American organizations in Chicago and making sure I'm out and talking to people and learning about the different communities and its rich history. And I don't think there's anyone more so than Dominic that really has in-depth expertise on the Italian-American experience in Chicago. I know he's authored several books on it, and he teaches here at Loyola, and his courses are absolutely going to be part of the new program that we have here, the minor in Italian-American studies. So,
without a doubt, I was kind of involved from the beginning in a small way. Of course, Dominic, the driving force. It was Dominic and Father Garanzini of Loyola. And to be honest with you, 5 years ago, we did that show. If you would ask me 5 years ago, do you think this is going to happen? From my heart, I would have said yes. But from my mind, I would have said probably not.
Well, it's a huge $500,000. I mean, that it's hard to raise money for anything.
It's hard to raise $50.
Yeah. Yes.
Let alone $500,000. There were others, obviously. Dr. Paul and Ann Rubino are just incredible people that really, really helped to make this happen. And a lot of other clubs and a lot of individuals and a lot of people. And God bless them all, because honestly, this is just a great thing. It really is exciting, the possibilities of it all. But before we get into all that, tell us about your family background, your career background. I'd love to know, who is Carla Simonini?
Okay. Well, let me just give a shout out to Dr. Paul and Rubino. I mean, they are the ones who earned the naming right to the professorship, and I am forever going to be attached to them while I'm in this position, because it is the Dr. Paul and Ann Rubino endowed professorship, and they put up a large amount of the funds necessary to make sure, not just for me, and I don't mean this about me, I mean, I'm certainly honored and thrilled to have been chosen for this, but this is a position that's going to exist in perpetuity. So even after I leave Loyola, you know, when that time comes, this position is going to stay.
And you're correct about that. And this program is going to stay. And and let me say that they did a search throughout the entire country for this very first endowed professor. And congratulations to you that you were the one they chose.
Yeah, I still can't believe
it. It's a hell of an honor.
I still can't believe it. I wasn't even looking for a job. I was very happy at my former institution. And a colleague said, look at this job posting, it really sounds like it's exactly, you know, what you
had you love. Thought about Italian American studies?
Oh yes, I did. And at my former institution, I had already, actually they have a campaign they just started that I was involved with getting off the ground there for. It's going to be a center for Italian and Italian American studies, and we had just started working in that direction.
Because I got to think it's limited. Let's be honest. There's only so many Italian American studies programs. If I'm not mistaken, like 12 throughout the country, I believe.
About 12, I think, right now.
This is the first year in the Midwest.
Yes. Yeah. There's some in the Northeast. There's different, out in California, there's different things going on. But a lot of times there's still course offerings or components of Italian American studies, even if there isn't a fully recognized program. So, and it's an important part of ethnic studies, immigration studies, American identity studies.
Very
so
true.
It's very, very.
But you have your own Italian American studies. So you are the head honcho of this program, and that's wonderful. So where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Providence, Rhode Island. I was born and raised there, and I am Italian American on both sides of my family.
100%.
100%.
Love it.
100%. But it goes way back. My father's side, the Simonini family, was one of the first 12 families from Italy to settle in Providence, Rhode Island. My father has old records. He's a great genealogist.
Roughly what years?
1870s.
1870s.
Yes.
Wow. And where did they come from?
They came from Tuscany. They're near Barga. Actually, the actual town is called Gallicano, which is a small town, but it's in the province of Lucca. Barga is the next largest town there. My father has the history all the way back to the Middle Ages. He's gone, and he worked with our local amateur historian, got all the records from the church. So,
is he where you get your love of this
absolutely.
Type of thing?
Yeah, he's so passionate about it, and I sort of grew up surrounded by that. And my mother's also 100% Italian, but she had a little bit of a different story. I mean, her parents didn't encourage them to learn Italian or whatnot, so she was sort of just Italian because that's what she was, whereas my father more reflected on what it meant to be Italian American and kept the heritage alive.
And where's your mom's family from?
They're from different parts of Italy. Actually, I kind of have a nice bunch of different branches. So on my father's paternal side is the Simoninis. They're from Tuscany. On the maternal side, more from Lazio.
Okay.
And then on my mother's side, we've got descent from Campania and the Abruzzo region. So we got, go back in different places.
And when was the first time you went to Italy?
I was 10 years old.
Oh, you were 10 years old? Your parents took you?
Yeah, it was, my father worked for the government, and he had a chance to study in Europe as part of his studies for the government, and it was his first trip to Europe. So he was there alone doing some coursework, and then at the end he decided he was going to do this big trip through Italy. And this I think is a very Italian-American ideal, like how your family shares and things with you. Everyone was like, you and your wife should just do a great tour of Europe. Why are you bringing your kids? That's not going to be fun. And he insisted. So I was 10, my brother was 8, and we flew over, and we started in Portugal, and we did this long trip all the way down into Italy.
And did Italy make an impression on you at age 10?
Actually, I heard my father speak Italian to the relatives there. He speaks Italian very well, which is interesting. His sister doesn't, but that's another story. And we met up with cousins that my grandmother had still corresponded with on my father's side. And I met kids who I kind of call my family now, even though, I mean, there is a relationship, but I think
it's just distant.
It's like third or fourth cousins at this point. But that really cemented for me, like, wow, this is amazing.
That's okay. That's a wonderful thing.
When I went back as a junior, I did my junior spring semester abroad, and I went to Rome, and I reconnected with that family again. And, I don't know.
You wanted to go back.
I did. I really did.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, Providence, Rhode Island, I know nothing about, I've never been there. I don't know much about it. Yeah. However, I've always been told there's a pretty large Italian American population.
Traditionally there was. Now they've kind of, typical story, dispersed into other suburbs and communities there. But there was a Federal Hill was the name of the Little Italy community. And that's where my father was born, in that neighborhood. That's where they moved out afterwards there. And there's still, it's more the businesses that are still there on Federal Hill.
So it's like a lot of little
Italy's. Yeah, a lot of little Italy's.
But did it have an effect on you being in an area that, I mean, it wasn't like you grew up in Arkansas.
Yeah.
So.
No, a lot of my friends in school were Italian American too. So, but it was a mixed community. There were a lot of different groups there. You know, a lot of mid-sized Jewish community, of Irish, Armenians, Lebanese. But the Italians were definitely a very,
Prominent
presence, and they offered Italian in our school system.
Well,
so
they
I
did.
Got to learn. That's when I started studying Italian.
Like in high school, you're saying?
Yes, in school. So, because even though my father did retain the language, he learned it by spending time with his grandfather, actually. And then he did study a little bit at college. It was not a living language in the family at all.
But you see why you need it at schools? Because it can touch someone. It can affect someone.
Absolutely.
That's why we need more of those programs.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Tell me about your career.
My career. Well, it's a strange career.
A very impressive one, though.
I started out, I didn't know what I was going to do. I went to a liberal arts college, Amherst College in Amherst, Massachusetts. And I think it was kind of assumed that, you go on to law school. That's what you do with a liberal arts degree. And I remember graduating and not knowing for sure I wanted to do that. So I came home, which was depressing. I was out of college and had no job. Lived with my parents, and I ended up just applying for different jobs. And I ended up getting hired in the Office of Residential Life at the University of Rhode Island. So I actually started out in student affairs. I did work in housing, and I, did different things with program planning. And it was a good career. I was doing fine there. I met my husband. We got married, and that's when we set down roots there. And after a while, in order to get promoted, that you needed a master's degree. So I thought, well, why would I get a master's degree? The college student personnel would have been the typical master's degree to get, people who are student affairs professionals. And I was looking at the job post, and I said, gee, it just says master's degree required. It doesn't say in what field. I said, why would I get a master's to learn more about what I do every day? That seems boring.
Right.
And a waste of time, quite
sure.
frankly. So instead, I took, I did a master's degree in comparative literature while I was working at URI, the University of Rhode Island. And after I did that, I did Spanish, Italian, and American literature. And the department liked me, I think, and they asked if I wanted to teach some courses for them. So I started part-time teaching in the Italian section there. And finally, I realized, well, what do I like about being on a university campus? I certainly enjoy being on a university campus. I like working with young people. But I tell you, I've really enjoyed much more having contact in the classroom with students.
Directly with the students.
Right, and the researching and the writing, as opposed to being in the office and, creating theme housing and residential life. But, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not.
No, right.
I just realized my passion was more in that direction, so I kind of took a leap of faith, and I applied for PhD programs. And I got accepted at Brown University, and I got my PhD at Brown. And so basically, I've had two careers. I spent more than 12 years doing student affairs work, and then got my PhD and then pursued that one.
And prior to Loyola, you were at Youngstown State University.
Yeah.
And there, what did you do there?
I was the a professor of Italian. I did Italian, all the Italian language courses I coordinated, and I was responsible for the whole curriculum there, all the literature and language courses. It was a great experience.
Did you have a decent amount of Italian American students?
Yeah,
because I know the area Youngstown is.
Youngstown has a really good representative Italian American population, but we get students from all backgrounds that would take the courses.
But I'm just thinking because I know I recently skimmed through Blood of My Blood by Richard Gambino, and back in the day, Italian Americans didn't go to college.
Right.
And in more of, I don't want to say modern era, mm-hmm. but more recent decades, many big numbers of Italian Americans are going to college, so I would think that you would have had a decent amount.
Yeah, we did. And Youngstown State Special, there were a lot of first generation college students there too. It was a great, I loved my students there. I loved my faculty, my department, my chair. I mean, I was very happy there. And one of the things that they liked about me is that even though I was an Italianist, I had come out of an Italian studies program, I had done an interdisciplinary PhD that looked at the Italian American experience. And
you were an Italianist?
Yeah.
Is that an academic word?
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what you just said.
Specialized in Italian literature and culture.
Oh, really? That's what it's called, Italianist.
Yeah.
I like that. So. Okay. You're an Italianist.
Anyway, they liked that I had that background, and they wanted me to reach out to the Italian-American community in Greater Youngstown. So I introduced two courses while I was there. Big help from my mentor, Fred Gardefee, the distinguished professor of English and Italian American Studies.
How did your paths cross?
I sent a chapter of my dissertation to him when I was in my PhD program at Brown because there was nobody in the department that really had the expertise to read it and give me critical feedback. And he first said, who are you? You're not one of my students. This is a big undertaking. And then he said, well, send me some of your work and I'll see. And that was just amazing meeting. He's been my advisor, mentor, inspiration ever since.
That's wonderful. And he was here about 10 days ago.
Right.
We had a celebration for the Italian American Studies program, and he came in to introduce mm-hmm. you, and it was a very nice day. We had a mass, we had a brunch, we had speeches, and quite an emotional day for you, I would imagine.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it was very, very emotional.
And it was kind of, to be honest, just, you know, even someone like myself, like I said, the fact that, wow, we're sitting here and this actually
happened.
Yeah. It got accomplished.
Yeah. And it's good.
And it's, well, now it's just, we'll get into that. I mean, it's you're like a sculptor now, and you've been given a piece of clay, and we can do whatever we want with it.
And I like doing that. I think one of the key, even when I was in student affairs, that program development is something I've always enjoyed. And
it's exciting.
Good at. Yeah.
It's exciting because
I redid the whole program there. And so now this is,
I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I can't come here as a student because I'm too old, but I wish I could. But now you are the editor of the journal Italian Americana, mm-hmm. which is the oldest academic journal dedicated to the Italian experience in North America.
Yes.
And Richard Gambino, who I referred to earlier, World Blood of My Blood, is one of the original co-founders.
He's one of the original founders of the journal. It's founded way back in the early, back in the 70s, actually. And it's been continued. I mean, there have been a few hiatuses, but it was originally at the CUNY system, the College of City University of New York. And then for many years, Carol Albright was the editor, and she was at the University of Rhode Island. And she retired a few years back and was going to, didn't know that there was anybody who would be willing to take over its editorship. And she asked me, and I was very honored. And I kind of naively said yes, not really realizing
a lot of work.
What a huge undertaking that was.
How many times a year does it come out?
It comes out twice a year.
Twice a year, but I would imagine there's a ton involved.
Yes, we have an advisory board, and it's a peer-reviewed journal, which means that people who are, like myself, academics who want to get tenure, they need to have their work and their research published.
Oh, really?
In a journal that other experts read their work and give them feedback and determine whether it's
Now, is it just for the
Academics
no, or can no. students see it? Can
yeah, anyone can
just
anyone
regular
can
people like Frankie
people,
D over here
absolutely.
See it?
Absolutely, lots of
okay.
people subscribe to it. Just
okay.
And the other thing that's really unique about it, even though it exists because it's a scholarly journal, it has always included creative pieces. So we always have short fiction or memoir. There's always been a poetry section. We do, since I've been in charge since 2015, we've included a lot more interviews.
Well, if you bring that up, I was fortunate that you gave me a couple copies, and there were two interviews that I very much enjoyed. One was with Bill Conti,
mm-hmm.
Academy Award musician,
the composer
yeah. mm-hmm. of the most one of the most famous film songs, Rocky.
Yeah.
And then secondly, there was an interview with Ray Boom Boom Mancini,
yes.
who was like was. What I think is one of the last Italian-American heroes
yes.
for the people.
Oh,
I don't want to go into it, but I really believe that in my heart.
Yeah, he's a Youngstown native.
And he is a Youngstown native.
He has moved back and is really plugged into
I learned that from your Italian-American con. Yeah.
I ran into him at a documentary premiere for another filmmaker who had done a documentary about a politician. And I tend to be shy, but every now and then I'm realizing I have to come. You know, I just went up to him and introduced myself, and he, through that, we made a sort of connection. I don't know if
sure,
he remembers
the
his
Youngstown.
Name, but I ran into him a few other times, and I would come up to. Well, he knew I was an Italian professor, so he spoke some Italian to me. So I ran into him a couple other times, and he goes, "Oh, Professor Teresa," and he agreed to do the interview.
Very nice. Yeah, yeah. So it has a lot of interesting things.
Yeah,
if someone would like to get it, mm-hmm. should they just go online, look up Italian Americana?
Yes, there's a website. In fact, that website is still being hosted at Youngstown State University, but we're going to eventually migrate it over to Loyola. But it's just italianamericana.ysu.edu.
So, okay, I highly advise it. It's good reading.
And there's information on how to subscribe to it there. So again, we're hoping as we get to Loyola that we'll have a revised and updated website, and I'm hoping that people can put orders online too, because right now one of my big problems was we still have old fashioned with mailing a check.
Mailing in a check? That sounds like me.
I know.
Nobody does that anymore.
It's really frustrating.
So the reality of the Italian American Studies program, mm-hmm. since I was kind of one of the guys out there trying to, hey, let's donate money to this thing, Italian American Studies program. What is that? There was a lot of confusion. They just didn't, I mean, I had people give me money, I'll be honest, and they really didn't understand what they were giving to, but that was okay. So an Italian-American studies program, give us the, you know, $2 version of how you would explain it to a regular person.
It's an interdisciplinary program, and it looks at issues of immigration, ethnicity, identity, American culture, through the lens of the Italian experience.
So it's all about...
It's all about the Italian experience.
Our people.
Yes. In the United States, predominantly, although there are people that look at other immigrations and things like that. And what I'm hoping to do, there's a lot of focus on what the traditional Italian-American experience usually looks back to, the great wave of immigration between 1880 and 1920, when a lot of our...
Millions came here.
But there's different phases of Italian immigration to the United States. I've met people here who came post-World War II, and then there were other things that happened after President Johnson changed the immigration.
Oh, I'll tell you another one in the 70s.
Yes.
In the early to mid-70s, a pretty good amount of Italians came from Italy.
Right.
You know, nowadays it's a sprinkling of, you know, here, there, one, two families. Lots of families came in that. In that era, and it's kind of what I think is like the last wave of Italian immigration in numbers. And now we're talking about 40 some odd years ago, which, you know, that's a whole other situation.
There's a new wave of immigrants coming in, and whether they like to be called Italian immigrants or not is part of the critical study of what I want to do. There's a lot of...
Really? Touch on that, please. What do you mean they don't want to be called Italian immigrants?
Well, I shouldn't take them all with a broad stroke, but there's been an influx of Italian immigration, mostly well-educated young professionals who are unable to find jobs in Italy and find employment here. So there, if you look at immigration statistics...
I believe that, yes.
In fact, right now I'm part of a group I was asked to join. It's a Society for Italian and Italian-American Women that the consulate is running. Right here in Chicago, and it's bringing together these new, more recent arrivals who are college-educated professionals with people who are of Italian descent, who also closely identify.
So what you're saying is this: the people coming now are the complete opposite, for the most part,
there's
of
a
your
higher education level. There's different things, and they tend, like, some of them don't even want to use the word Italian American. They'll use words like Italian. Working in America, even if they've married and had kids here and have been here for a long time.
I'm slightly offended.
or the expat.
I get it, though. Yeah. I think I realize where that's coming from. That person that's highly educated, that's coming here, I get it. They're not an Italian American. They're not what you think of as an Italian American.
Right, because we've come to associate the word with a historical time period and predominantly with working class people or peasants and things like that. And I think, I mean, that's problematic. You need to be able
And
to
unfortunately,
talk. That's part of what you do in scholarly things is to broaden the discussion and make it.
Absolutely. That's what this
really
is. That's what's great
that,
about this.
All it should mean, Italian American, is somebody who is from Italy who has come to America. Theoretically.
And unfortunately, now, in the way our society is going, even that title Italian American is kind of dying because it's getting so watered down. And that's a whole other thing, too. And we could probably talk for like 8 hours here today, but I'm sure that you have a lot of things to do. Tell me of some of the courses, for example, that you will be teaching through the Italian American Studies program.
Well, there's a curriculum that was put together to get approval on the campus before they could even hire for my position. So there's a minor in Italian American Studies. And what they did was they looked at courses that were already being taught at the university that could be put together in a course of study that would bring the student to a level of competency and understanding Italian American history and culture and whatnot. So some of them were already here on campus.
So you'll be introducing a lot of new ones.
I'm going to be introducing a lot of new ones.
Yes.
Dominic Candeloro, who we talked about before, he's been a major force in the history department. He teaches a course and has been for a number of years now called the Italian Americans of Chicago. So that's very specifically focused on the Italian history here in the city of Chicago. And this semester he is teaching Italian Americans in World War II. And actually, after you leave today, one of my deadlines is to get those two courses into a position to be put before the curricular committee because they've been offered as special topics courses. And now we're going to fold them over and they're going to have their own designated course number to be part of the regular part of the curriculum. So that's a good thing.
So that's a great thing. So we better get a move on because you have things to do. I will say this, Loyola University, how incredible. Now that there is an Italian-American studies program, there is a Italian program. You can major in the Italian language. Yeah. And then let's not forget the Rome Center,
yes,
which is probably one of the finest of all the universities. Mm-hmm. I myself, lucky guy, got to study there over 30 years ago. It's in there's a whole campus.
I've never been, so I'm looking.
You have to go. It is beautiful. Yeah. It is in this beautiful section of Rome where you find like villas next door, and it's a well-to-do area. It's a whole campus. It's incredible. This university has a definite Italian feel to it, which is great. Have to ask you. So the Italian American Studies program, I understand. I know we've talked about it with Dominic. You want to include the community. It's not just about a student coming here, because that's the thing. People would say, well, I don't have kids. My kids are older. My kids not going to Loyola. It's more than just the students. Tell me about how the community will be involved hopes to be involved.
From the very beginning, when I saw the job advertisement and I came in for my interview, I view this as a real holistic experiential learning program, so that not only are we going to teach in the classroom, but I want to bring the students out into the community. And I want to invite the community here as well. So, I mean, just for example, this is only my first semester, so I haven't been able to realize everything, of course, but I'm teaching a course that's a comparative literature course with Italian women writers and Italian American writers. And one of the works that we're reading is by Mari Tomasi. It's called Like Lesser Gods. And it's a novel. It's fictional, but it's largely based upon the writer's experiences growing up in Barrie, Vermont with Italian stonecutters. So that's what my students are reading next. And in conjunction with that,
I was going to say, tell us about the event that you have planned, at the Italian American Studies program planned, that will be at the end of November here.
Exactly. So because of them reading that work and having read about them, Luigi Del Bianco was recently recognized, I think it was in October of 2017, officially recognized by the National Park Service as the master carver for Mount Rushmore. So he was just one of the anonymous immigrant workers that had been on the project up until this point. Blomgren is the, I don't think it's pronounced his name, but there's the famous sculptor, the man who I created the idea for it. But Luigi Del Bianco was the one who really created a lot of the finishing touches and the finesse that brought the project to life. And his grandson
was the driving force to bring this to life.
He brought it to life. He didn't understand growing up. His grandpa did all this stuff. How come nobody knows about it? So he started a campaign to have his work recognized. And they had extensive archives and photos and letters and all kinds of things that had gone on, and they led to the successful campaign of having Luigi Del Bianco,
which brings
named by name.
More pride to our people.
Absolutely.
And he'll be coming here November 29, 2018.
Yes, Lou Del Bianco, the grandson, has written a book about this experience, and it's a memoir. It's called Out of Rushmore's Shadow, the Luigi Del Bianco Story. So he's coming to campus. He's going to guest lecture in my class on November 29th, and we have two high school classes that do dual credit Italian that are coming to be in class and hear his lecture. So he's doing that presentation in class, and then in the evening time, he's doing a public presentation where he's going to present his book. He has a slideshow.
Open to the community.
It's open to the community. There will be snacks. I ordered Italian antipasti. I don't know. I think it should be good.
Oh, that's great.
But that's to me an example of the experiential learning that you bring.
That is wonderful. Yeah. And I am going to do all I can help to spread the word to the community with my big mouth. This is a great thing. Yeah. Last thing I want to know. What do you hope to accomplish with this program? What are the things that your dreams? I mean, you've come here from far away to lead this charge. And what are some of the dreams you have for this?
I'd like to see this become a really vibrant minor with a good number of students. Naturally, students of Italian-American descent would be, I would think, naturally attracted to it. But there's so many connections that can be made in different ways. And plus, like you said, we have the John Felice Rome campus. There is a Rome studies minor, and we also have a major and a minor in Italian. There's a lot of
synergy. And the name of the church?
La Madonna della Strada.
So you just come to this campus, but besides it being beautiful and you just got a great feel, you got a great Italian feel on this campus.
So I want to see the minor thrive. I want to see students have experiences learning more about the Italian history, not just in Chicago, but in a broad context, make connections. be able to include a study in Rome with that. And hopefully, I'm going to be studying Italian language is going to be part of the minor. So all students
studying the language itself.
Absolutely. All students at Loyola have to have a language. So part of my plan is to make sure if you're going to do the Italian studies minor, that language should be Italian.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I wish you the best of luck, obviously. And your success will be success for our community, which, you know, I kind of live and die for. And anything I can help with, obviously, I'm a phone call away always, and I plan to help, and I plan to, you know, be somewhat a part, and I'm hoping to get the community involved. You know, it's funny, when we were trying to raise the money, I mean, for me, anyone that I like to say has got green, white, and red blood going through their veins, how you couldn't understand that this was such an important thing, such a great thing, and, you know, the fact that we are in a I don't want to say desperate, but we're in kind of the times of our ethnic group are in need of an influx, a shot of adrenaline in some capacity. And I think that this program could be a part of that adrenaline.
Absolutely. If Italian Americans should read and study their own history more.
Without a doubt.
We have
so much to be proud of. And it's like we don't know about it.
No, they don't. They don't. It's one of the great pleasures. When I taught at the YSU, Youngstown State University, they let me put in an Italian-American identity course as part of the American Studies program. And one of the young women in that course, at the end, they were supposed to interview someone in their own family. They were not all Italian-American descent. It was to say, find your own immigrant story. And one of the young women in class, not the most engaged student throughout most of the semester, but at the end, she came up to me and she goes, "You know, I interviewed my grandma, and all that stuff you were talking about in class, she lived it and she knew it." And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if that young woman would have had that conversation.
No, she wouldn't. That's what's great. You open up her eyes and you open up her mind. Yeah. And that's what this is all about. Yeah. So.
And her grandmother asked for some of the books that we read, some of the novels.
Did she really? Yes. Yes. No, this is a great opportunity, and you have, it's not going to be easy. Yeah. There's a big responsibility on your shoulder, and there's a lot of work to be done, but I'm sure you're the right person for this job. It's going to be great. Thank you so much for the interview, but more than that, thank you for taking this over, and I just say, let's do it, and let's go out there and as many things that we can do, and let's get this done, and let's change the people.
I want to meet as many people as possible. I'm available and willing and love to learn and get to know this community as best as possible.
Well,
this is not just a job. This is passion.
You're right.
How lucky am I? How many people can?
Oh, you are an incredible person, and you could just see it. I mean, all that you've studied and what you've studied and your background, and this, you're perfect for this position. And once again, hats off to everyone that was involved with this, and especially the ones we know. Great job. This is fantastic. So, Carla, thank you. Best of luck with everything, and it's going to be a great ride.
Thank you. Have to say in bocca al lupo.
In bocca al lupo. E come dico sempre alla fine del programma, stay strong, stay sharp, and stay Italian. Thank you to all, to our next show.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky
hopes. So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram.
He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. He had high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you're feeling bad, instead of feeling sad, just remember that ram. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
Oops, there goes a billion
kilowatt dam. There goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops, there goes.